We are using the rules of the Senate here.
Reconciliation is one of the things that we need to look at.
The major package of health care reform cannot move through the reconciliation process.
An up or down vote is necessary.
It's a device which has never been used for this kind of major systemic reform.
Reconciliation has been used 21 times.
Do we start over from the beginning?
It's funny how when you put Carmina Burana behind their words, everything seems dramatic.
And the world, yeah.
Yeah, it changes the meaning of what you're hearing. And you know,
Congress
this is
loves
why,
to do that.
They do. Yeah. They do. They take these words that we use in everyday life, and by the time it gets to Capitol Hill, it's totally changed. Pork.
Remember when it used to be just a source of protein?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. This is tasty thing that you add ham at Christmas or something, or
parties with balloons
and cake.
Remember that?
That's right. Yeah. Reconciliation, it's a noun. It simply means the reestablishing of friendly relations. That's what reconciliation means.
No, it's a stake driven into the heart of democracy.
That's what it means now. Todd Zwillick is our Takeaway Washington correspondent. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning, Celeste. How
so
are you?
So reconciliation is a 36-year-old process. It was designed to avoid filibusters. It's been used almost 24 times. Why is reconciliation now a controversial stake in the heart of democracy?
I think it's controversial now because the process in health reform has become part of the story outside the Beltway, and that's unusual. You know, usually the Beltway worries about the process, and the rest of the country, if at all, worries about the substance. But healthcare itself is big and unwieldy and certainly controversial. The public's paying attention. There's an entire political movement, the Tea Party and aggrieved libertarians built up part of one of their planks is frustration over inside deals in Washington. And reconciliation maybe smacks of that because, like you said, you can do it with 51 votes, not the normal 60.
Okay, now it's being painted as the Republicans versus the Democrats here, but it's been reversed that way. Let me play you this clip from Republican Senator Judd Gregg. This is him speaking on the Senate floor in 2005.
We are using the rules of the Senate here. That's what they are, Senator. The fact is that all this rule of the Senate does is allow a majority of the Senate to take a position and pass a piece of legislation. Now, is there something wrong with majority rules? I don't think so.
Okay, so Senator Judd Gregg, perfectly fine with reconciliation when majority rules meant that the majority was the Republicans.
Right, and I think you've seen this throughout the recent history of the Senate. Reconciliation is something that's championed, by a frustrated majority, and we have a frustrated Democratic majority right now, and it's railed against by an oppressed and aggrieved minority. And the shoe was on the other foot back in 2005. The shoe has been on the other foot before. That was Judd Gregg in 2005 when he was chairman of the Budget Committee. So it's true he was fine with reconciliation then. Republicans say health reform is a little bit different because of the size and the sweeping nature of it, and they may have a point that when reconciliation was invented, it was never intended for broad policy changes like health reform. But the rules take care of that. You can't just take health reform, the big health reform bill, and plop it into reconciliation. You can't do that. You got to break it up into little pieces that fit under the rules that affect revenue. So saying the broad policy was never meant for reconciliation, the rules kind of cover that.
Okay, that's Todd Zwillick, our Takeaway Washington correspondent. Let's go back to what this was historically intended for with Julian Zelizer. He's a congressional historian at Princeton. He's also author of Arsenal of Democracy, The Politics of National Security from World War II to the War on Terrorism. Good morning, Julian.
Good morning again.
So again, as Todd said, reconciliation had a fairly narrow purpose when it was created in 1974 as part of the Congressional Budget Act. Are we going off the rails when we try to use it for health care reform?
No, because what's happened since then is Congress has used it for other things. They gradually expanded what the purposes of that process are. And we've used it, in fact, on health care many times, on our children's health program that we have,
S-chip.
On the COBRA program. So we've actually broadened it. And as he said, there are rules that this will have to go through, which will determine is this too big or not. All it is a procedure. It's not different than the filibuster.
Okay, well, you're talking about a rule, and one that we've heard a lot about is the Byrd rule. I want to play you a clip from Senator Kent Conrad. He was the chairman of the Senate Budget Committee, and he was speaking on Face the Nation this past Sunday. Here's what he had to say.
The major package of health care reform cannot move through the reconciliation process. It will not work.
It will not work
because of the Byrd rule, which says anything that doesn't score for budget purposes has to be eliminated.
Anything that does not score for budget purposes, Julian Zelizer, has to be eliminated.
Well, look, that is true. I mean, Senator Byrd put those rules in, or he got the Senate to accept the rules in 1985 and 1986, and all the provisions they put through will be put. I think there's six rules about how it affects the budget now, how it affects it in the next 10 years. So as Democrats put this reconciliation package together, they're going to have to show that it doesn't affect the budget in ways that violate the rules. So that is true, but they've already, you know, thought of that. In the end, health care, they argue, is a deficit measure. That's the only way we're going to curb Medicare spending. That's the only way we're going to curb health care spending, is through reforming this extraordinarily expensive system.
It sounds like there's total latitude here, that if Julian, you and I sit down and we talk a little bit about Congress, we can expense the lunch, right, because we talked about work.
Oh, absolutely. The reason that the Senate puts these rules is to try to create some kind of playing field. But the rules are subject to interpretation, and there's really heated political battles over what the rules are and kind of what fits in. This is not new to health care. So I think there is room for this to work. It's the same way, again, the filibuster is being used in ways it was not originally used, and both Republicans and Democrats have been very flexible, especially in this idea you can just filibuster everything. So reconciliation is not different.
So, you know, to go back to John's point earlier this hour, in whether or not we're kind of distorting the original intent of the function of our government, was reconciliation intended when it was created in 74 to be effective? Was it created as an effectiveness tool?
Oh, absolutely. Part of it was to deal with the problems we deal with today. Because it's such a wide-open institution with so many voices, here's a mechanism to allow majorities in the Senate to operate efficiently in dealing with the big problems of the day. One of the first presidents to use it was Ronald Reagan in 1981.
Okay, so majority rules in the Senate, right, Julian?
Absolutely.
Julian Salazar, congressional historian at Princeton. He's the author of Arsenal of Democracy, The Politics of National Security from World War II to the War on Terrorism. We also spoke with Todd Zwillick, who's the Takeaways Washington correspondent.
Barack Obama's administration, his health care reform package, saved by a Ronald Reagan initiative. There's bipartisanship.
You'll find bipartisanship anywhere, John Hockenberry.
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.